In this video, we're going over the category substances that calm the spirit. There are two subcategories, substances that anchor, settle, and calm the spirit, and herbs that nourish the heart and calm the spirit. So in this category, we're talking about substances that calm the spirit. So what do we mean by calming the spirit? Well, here we have the Chinese term called shen, which we often translate as spirit. And it turns out the word shen, this is a very encompassing term that it can refer to a lot of different things in TCM, depending on the context. Here, when we say shen or spirit, we tend to be talking more about consciousness. Is the person awake and active and vibrant? Sometimes we'll talk about that you can determine assess the patient's shen by looking at the eyes. Are the eyes bright and awake? Are they able to engage and make sense? Or is the person, do they have a dull shen where they're just not very engaged with the outside world? So that's kind of what we mean by shen. And so remember, we're talking about the heart shen. It's the heart that houses the shen. And there's this idea that the shen, the spirit, has its abode in the heart. So the shen has to come home to the heart. It's like its house where it comes home at night and relaxes and functions properly. So if we have a situation where the shen is not being housed in the heart, the shen does not have a strong abode in the heart, we can see certain things that we could call a disquieted heart spirit. This is the term that Nigel Weissman uses that I think is good. The heart spirit becomes disquieted. Or sometimes I'll just use the general term shen disturbance, that if the spirit, the heart shen, can't find its abode in the heart, then it becomes kind of anxious and disquieted and you end up with shen disturbance. So what does this shen disturbance look like? Well, we can have things like palpitations. This is kind of a little bit interesting. I think in Western medicine, when they use the term palpitations, they're typically referring to the heart rate. Like they would just say tachycardia, that if the heart is racing, they would call that palpitations. I think in TCM, when we say palpitations, we're talking more about the subjective feeling that you can feel your heart pounding in your chest. And so you can think about that. Maybe when you're back in school and you had to give a speech in front of the class and your heart started pounding, or there was the prom was coming up and you had to go up and ask out your date to the prom, your heart started pounding because there was some nervousness, there was some uneasiness, that your shen was disquieted. And so if that happens in other situations, that's what we mean by palpitations, is feeling your heart pounding in your chest. Or if the heart starts beating irregularly, as in like skipping beats and things like that, we call that palpitations. And that is a form of shen disturbance. Irritability, we could say irritability, vexation, things like that. That's kind of like you're hot and bothered, that the shen is not quiet and calm. It's kind of irritable and vexed. Insomnia, this is a big one especially at nighttime, at the yin time of day, the spirit is supposed to come home to its abode in the heart and find rest. And so if the spirit can't come home to its heart, you can't fall asleep and you don't have peaceful sleep. So insomnia, kind of along with that, is this idea of profuse dreaming. So even though like physically you're asleep, your mind is still real active, your heart shen is still real active and jumping around. So you have this dream disturbed sleep, maybe tossing and turning, or very vivid dreams that disrupt your sleep. And another thing I'll point out here is, this is sometimes something that would happen in the student clinic, and I feel like it especially happened with the Japanese style practitioners, that they would just straight up ask their patients, do you dream, or do you dream a lot? And that always seemed kind of weird to me. And even later, sometimes the patients would come up to me and say, hey, when I was here last week, the intern was asking me, do I dream? Like, is dreaming bad? Are you not supposed to dream? And it's like, no, everybody dreams. You're supposed to dream. I think if you don't dream, that can actually cause problems. There was an episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation, about that. But what we mean here is, when we say profuse dreaming, we mean profuse dreaming or dream disturbed sleep, that you're dreaming so much and so vividly that it actually disturbs or interrupts your sleep. So dreaming is normal. There's nothing bad about that. But we're talking about like on the kind of severe end of that, it's like, do you wake up in the middle of the night with a cold sweat, like gasping because you were having nightmares? But we could also say that just even though you're asleep, your mind is still active. You're dreaming a lot very vividly. It might cause you to toss and turn. And so when you wake up the next morning, you're like, I'm not sure if I don't feel rested when I wake up in the morning because I spent so much time dreaming and it was exhausting. So that's what we mean. Don't just mean, do you dream? It's like profuse dreaming or dream disturbed sleep. Again, because the Shen is not quiet in its abode in the heart. Something else is going on. Anxiety is a big one. Anxiety, again, we can say like vexation and things like that, where you just feel anxious. And so those are some of the things that can happen when the heart spirit is not finding its abode in the heart. So next we can ask, what causes this? What would make it so that the Shen cannot come home and be quiet and relax inside its home of the heart? Well, we have quite a few patterns. We have, these are the major ones that we talk about in the book first. We have heart qi deficiency or heart yang deficiency, that if there's not enough qi in there, then the heart can't come home or it can't be quiet and restful. Or if there's heart yang deficiency, it's like, it's too cold, so the spirit doesn't feel relaxed. Heart blood deficiency or heart yin deficiency. So again, if there's not enough nourishment and not enough substance nourishing the heart can't come home to its abode in the heart. Heart fire, if there's heat going into the heart, you can think about when you're like trying to sleep and it's way too hot and you're like, you're just hot and bothered, you're tossing and turning, you can't get to sleep, it's like, because it's too hot. So that heart fire can cause agitation, and so the spirit can't be calm in its abode of the heart. Or we could have phlegm misting the heart orifices. We can say, sometimes what we say is phlegm confounding the orifices. And so you can think about this as in there's like a veil of phlegm between your internal spirit and the outside world. And so there, it's like you're looking through this veil and things are kind of cloudy. And we could say that's a form of Shen disturbance too. So especially if there's like confusion, forgetfulness, inability to speak, it could be that there's this veil of phlegm blocking the heart orifices, blocking the Shen's ability to interact with the outside world. And so those are the major ones we talk about in the books, but or that are at least mentioned in Bensky and Wiseman as the main patterns. But I think it's important to mention some of these other patterns as well, that we can have liver issues like liver heat or liver yang rising, that if there's this heat in the liver that can go up into the heart and cause disquieted heart, or if there's liver yin deficiency with liver yang rising, as that yang rises up, it disquiets the heart and causes some Shen uneasiness. We can have even just liver constraint or liver qi stagnation when things are not moving properly. That could disquiet the heart or cause some Shen disturbance. And even things like blood stasis. If the blood is not moving, remember the heart controls the blood in terms of the heart is supposed to move the blood. So if the blood is not moving, that heart stuff can get constrained and the spirit can no longer find its abode in the heart. So those are some of the patterns that will come up that would cause this Shen uneasiness. And in terms of etiology, we can have just have like constitutional deficiencies or other things going on, but one of our main etiologies for Shen disturbance is just the emotions, the seven affects. So if you remember back in your fundamentals class, we talked about the causes of disease, internal causes, external causes, miscellaneous causes. When we talked about internal causes, we were talking about the seven affects or the seven emotions. And so remember that these different emotions can have different effects on the qi. They can slow the qi down. They can cause the qi to knot or to bind. They can scatter the qi and things like that. So one of the big emotions that affects the heart is fright, as in fear versus fright. When we say fright, the Chinese term is jing. And here sometimes the image they use is like a startled horse, like when a horse gets spooked and then it bolts. That's kind of what the character jing means. So if we experience some fright or shock or some sudden disturbance, that can upset the qi and make it so that the Shen can't come home to the heart. But really, even though we say each of the seven emotions goes to one of the organs, really all of the emotions to some extent affect the heart, that they can exhaust the qi or wear down the qi. So emotional extremes, whether we're talking about fright or worry or sadness or pensiveness, that can wear down on the heart and cause some of these Shen disturbances as well. So that's something that we should maybe point out, is like a lot of these Shen disturbances could be caused by emotional things, but they can have other causes as well, such as is poor diet, poor lifestyle, things like that, that are causing some of these other things. So that's something we can mention. Another thing we can mention is the involvement of the liver. So we notice that some of our patterns involve the liver, but when we talk about the spirit, besides just talking about the heart shen, we can also talk about the hun, the ethereal soul. And just like the heart has to find, or just like the shen has to find its abode in the heart, the hun has to come home to the liver. And so sometimes we can have additional signs like insomnia and things like that, but it's due to the hun not coming home to the liver. So on the one hand, we can think that if we have things like liver heat, liver qi stagnation, this can affect the heart, or it can be just mean that the hun is not coming home to the liver. And so we'll see some of these herbs enter the liver channel as well, and some of our patterns affect the liver. So that's another thing, is that there's, when we talk about disquieted spirit, sometimes there's some liver involvement as well. So you'll notice that when we go through these patterns, that some of these patterns are deficiency patterns, heart qi deficiency, heart yang deficiency, or heart yin and blood deficiency. So some of these are deficiency patterns, but then some of these are excess patterns, like excess heart fire, phlegm misting the heart orifices, or you can have phlegm fire going into the heart, or some of these other excess conditions. So that's something that we'll want to pay attention to, is when we're looking at shen disturbance. In terms of our eight principal diagnosis, one of them is it excess or is it deficient? And we might use different herbs or different acupuncture points to address that based on excess or deficiency. So our category here is substances that calm the spirit, and this is divided up into two subcategories. We have substances that anchor, settle, and calm the spirit, and we have herbs that nourish the heart and calm the spirit. So our first one, substances that anchor and settle the calm, and calm the spirit. These substances tend to be heavy shells and minerals, heavy substances that weigh down on the heart. That if things are floating upwards or getting out of hand, we use these heavy substances to weigh down on the heart to bring it back to its abode, to bring the shen back to its abode. And so these weigh down the heart and calm the spirit by virtue of their heavy nature. And these are typically used for excess conditions. One way you can think about this is like you're throwing an anchor on a person. You don't want to throw an anchor on a person who's deficient. Sometimes I think about like, you know, those Wile E. Coyote cartoons where you're like where they drop an anvil on someone. Well, that's what we're doing, is you're using something heavy to weigh things down. And you only want to do that in an excess condition where the patient is strong or the pathogen is strong. If the person is deficient and you throw an anvil on them, it's just going to make the situation worse. So we have, those are substances that anchor, settle, and calm the spirit. It's their heavy nature that's weighing down the spirit in order to calm it. But then we have herbs that nourish the heart and calm the spirit. And these are sweet tonifying herbs that they tonify and moisten, and they nourish the heart so that the shen can come home to its abode. And so these typically nourish heart blood and heart yin. And these are typically used more for deficiency conditions. So hopefully that's obvious. When we nourish the heart, we're using it for deficiency conditions. So those are our two subcategories that we're dealing with here. So this slide, I think that covers everything that we did, that we're calming the spirit to treat shen problems like irritability, insomnia, profuse dreaming or dream-disturbed sleep, palpitations, and anxiety. That's because the heart's function of storing the shen, storing the spirit, has been disturbed. And we divide it up into these two categories, whether we're treating excess conditions like heart fire, or we're treating deficiency conditions like heart blood deficiency. So that's what we're dealing with in this category. So again, we divide up into two categories. This is kind of a weird one because I feel like we're just going to do them all at once. I feel like if you split them up, it'd be the categories would be too short, but if we put them together, the category is going to be kind of long. So this might be a long one, but those are our two subcategories here for calming the spirit. So let's start with substances that anchor, settle, and calm the spirit. And just a note here that for this category and for some of our other categories, we see that Bensky uses the term substances rather than herb. Now, it turns out that the Chinese term that we use for any kind of stuff we use in herbology, the Chinese term is yao, which just means a medicinal substance. So Nigel Weissman just translates this term as medicinal. That's why the names of his categories are things like dampness draining medicinals or spirit quieting medicinals. And so he just uses that as a general term to encompass everything. But what Benski does is sometimes this term yao, he'll translate as herb, even if it's a root or a seed, he'll just translate it as herb. And sometimes he translates it as substance. So here when we say substances that anchor, settle, and calm the spirit, what we're kind of referring to here is these are not plant parts. Generally speaking, these are not plant parts. These are shells, minerals, and other non-plant parts that because they're heavy, they weigh down the spirit and other things. So here we say the taste is sweet. That's true, but generally speaking, these substances don't really have any tonifying or moistening properties. I think it's just coincidentally a lot of them are sweet. I don't think that really means anything. The temperature of these herbs tend to be neutral or cool because, again, a lot of our excess conditions that we're trying to weigh down the spirit, they tend to be things like heart fire or phlegm fire misting the heart or liver yang rising, causing heat going into the heart. So it makes sense that a lot of these would want to be cool in temperature. The entering channels are the heart and the liver. So we can think about that where calming the heart spirit, we're weighing things down in the heart. So of course they enter the heart channel. Remember, a lot of those patterns were liver patterns as well. So a lot of these herbs enter the liver channel as well, also because we're anchoring liver yang rising. Or you could think about that the liver houses the hun, and that could be a component of calming the spirit as well. So our entering channels are the heart and the liver. The main action is to anchor and calm the spirit. And some cautions and contraindications. These herbs are minerals which are difficult to digest, so it can very easily injure the stomach qi. So these minerals, they're not necessarily like rich and sticky and cloying like some of our other herbs, but just because they're minerals, they can be difficult to digest. You might remember back when we were in the food stagnation category, we talked about shen chu, massa medicata fermentata. It's like a little fermented cake. And we said, in terms of helping with digestion, we said one of the things that shen chu is used for is when we have a lot of minerals in our formula, we can add shen chu to help digest those minerals. So that's just something to keep in mind, that these can be a little bit difficult to digest just because they're minerals. And also we say these herbs are not for long-term use because they're, again, we're treating excess conditions. They're very heavy. They weigh the spirit down. If we use them for too long, that can actually wear down the qi and cause additional problems. That's, again, you're putting an anchor on someone. You don't want to do that long term. Some other things we can point out is, again, like we said, these are heavy substances that weigh down the heart to calm the spirit, but they can also weigh down other things as well. So in addition to weighing down the heart spirit, they can also weigh down ascendant liver yang. So if we have liver yang rising, it can anchor liver yang rising. Sometimes even if you have rebellious lung qi or rebellious stomach qi, by virtue of their heavy nature, they can weigh down that qi rebellion as well. So sometimes we'll use this for other things besides just weighing down the heart spirit. I think we saw this with other minerals like digesher. And we should also know these substances mainly treat the branch symptoms of shen disturbance. So we need to combine it with other herbs that treat the root. So these herbs are heavy herbs that are weighing down the spirit, but we need to use the other herbs that, say, if we're dealing with heart fire, we need to combine it with herbs that drain heart fire. If we have liver yang rising going into the heart, we need to combine it with herbs that tonify liver yin and anchor liver yang rising, things like that. So these will help calm the spirit by virtue of their heavy nature, but we still need to treat the root cause. And another thing I needed to add in here, because these herbs are shells and minerals, they tend to have a longer cooking time just because they're minerals. It's more difficult to extract their medicinal qualities, and so we have to cook them longer. So normally what we do is, in a normal decoction, you just put all the herbs together and boil it for 30 minutes. What we're going to do with these herbs is you might add your heavy shells and minerals first and boil it for 30 to 60 minutes by itself, and then you'll add in the rest of the herbs and boil it the normal 30 minutes more. So just that the mineral parts get that extra cooking time just because they need extra time to extract those medicinal qualities. So that's substances that anchor and calm the spirit. And our first one here is long gu, Fossilia ossis mastidi. Long gu, Fossilia ossis mastidi. And this is dragon bone. So, of course, we don't use real dragons. Dragons are an endangered species, so we don't use real dragon bone anymore. What we mean by this is we're using the fossilized bones of other animals. And so sometimes the Latin name will be different depending on which specific bone it is, but this is the fossilized bones of like cows, horses, deer, elephants, I think even fossilized rhinoceros bone. So again, so just to be clear, we're not killing rhinoceroses. This is rhinoceroses that died a long time ago and we found their fossilized bones. But I think more likely it's fossilized bones of cows and horses, deers that we dug up and found. So that's what we mean by longu, fossilized bone. And so longu, it has a lot of actions and all of them are important, but number one, it anchors and settles the spirit. So again, this is like a bone, it's a mineral, its heavy nature is weighing down on the spirit to treat things like restlessness, insomnia, palpitations, anxiety, and mania withdrawal. I'm not sure if we talked about this before, but mania withdrawal, the Chinese term is, I think, quan dian. And so it's kind of like a, maybe the TCM version of bipolar disorder, where sometimes you're in a state of mania, or you're happy and like too happy, too active, you're manic, and then you switch from that and going into a withdrawal phase where you're kind of more withdrawn and more depressed. So we call that mania withdrawal, and that's another example of a Shen disturbance. So this heavy substance will weigh down the spirit so that you don't go to those two extremes. So of course, we're in the category anchor, settle, and calm. So this longu anchors and settles the spirit. But besides anchoring and weighing down the spirit, longu also anchors liver yang rising as well. So if we have some liver yin deficiency, there's an imbalance between yin and yang. The liver yin can't anchor things down, so the yang starts rising upward, and we see things like irritability, restlessness, dizziness, blurred vision, the liver goes to the eyes, irascibility. That was a funny Wiseman term that I wanted to include, that like, oh, my patient is being irascible. That means they have a bad temper. When there's yin deficiency, the liver can't root things down, so the yang rises upwards. So sometimes we'll use longu, even if we don't have these spirit problems like insomnia or palpitations, but if we just have liver yang rising, then longu can anchor down that liver yang rising. But again, just make sure you know that we're treating the branch symptoms. We're not necessarily treating the root cause of liver yin deficiency. So it can anchor down the heart, it can anchor down liver yang rising. Also interesting here is it induces astringency to stop leakage. So like we just talked about on the stabilize and bind category, when you have leakage of fluids or leakage of essence. So this is for seminal emission, vaginal discharge, frequent urination, flooding and spotting. So uterine bleeding or profuse menses with spotting between periods, that's leakage of blood. Spontaneous sweating and night sweats. So this is mainly for lower jaw leakage, like leakage of essence or bleeding, and then also for like lung leakage, like sweating. This not necessarily for diarrhea was our other type of leakage. So we don't really see it for that, but we do see it for both sweating and leakage of essence. And if we're going to use longu for this function of inducing astringency to stop leakage, we want to use it in its calcine form called duan longu. So maybe you remember at the very beginning when we talked about the different methods of preparation for herbs. We talked about things like you can stir fry herbs in honey, you can stir fry herbs in ginger juice or in vinegar. Well, one of our methods of preparation was calcining or duan. And what we mean here, calcining is pretty much only used for shells and minerals, because what we're doing here is we're heating up the herb, the substance to a really high temperature. And so this isn't like you put it in your oven and bake it at 350 degrees. This is more like you take a mineral and put it in a kiln and heat it up to 750 or over 1,000 degrees until it's red hot. That's the process of calcining. And this does a couple things. to some extent, what this does is it just makes the substances more brittle and easier to pulverize. So especially if you wanted to use something in a powdered form, that makes it easy to grind up into a powder. I think we saw this with like Shergao gypsum. If we want to grind it into a powder and use it topically, we can calcine it first, and that makes it easier to grind into a powder. But in this situation, when we do this calcining process, that actually emphasizes its function of inducing astringency to stop leakage. And if you want to look this process up, you can Google calcining. And the reason we do this with certain minerals is the extreme heat can actually change the chemical composition. So if you want to go on Wikipedia and look up quicklime, it's something like calcium. The heat changes the chemical structure from like calcium carbonate to calcium oxide or something like that. And that's how we make cement. So that's what's happening here. When we calcine it, when we heat this up to this very high temperature, it's actually changing the chemical composition. And what that means for us in TCM is that it enhances its ability to stop leakage, both leakage of essence and sweating. We also say that longgu closes sores and generates flesh for chronic non-healing sores. And this is just something that we've seen fairly often with different minerals and bones. Remember, I think we saw the same thing with like Hai Piao Xiao, cuttlefish bone, and things like that. So a lot of our minerals can be used in this way. And again, here you would use the calcined Duan Longgu. And this one, again, like we talked about with Hai Piao Xiao, you can apply it topically as a powder. And again, by calcining it, that makes it easier to grind into a powder. So that's Longgu. Several actions, but all of them are important. So it's heavy and weighs things down. When we say it weighs things down, we mean it weighs down the heart spirit, but also weighs down liver yang rising. And then we'll see it very commonly used for this action of inducing astringency as well. So notice here the temperature is neutral, so we can use it for hot or cold conditions. We say the taste is sweet, but also astringent in property. So I think this is a good example of using the term astringent, where sometimes students will ask, what's the difference between sour and astringent? Because they basically do the same thing. I think here what we're talking about is that if you took longgu and you put it in your mouth, it wouldn't actually taste sour. You wouldn't taste a sour flavor on your tongue, but it still has this action of inducing astringency. So that's why we mark it as astringent rather than sour, because it doesn't have a sour flavor, but it does have this puckering action that will induce astringency. You can see our entering channels kind of make sense here. And then, because we're weighing down the heart, so it goes to the heart channel. We're weighing down the liver, so it goes to the liver channel. We're stopping kidney leakage, so it goes to the kidney channel for that leakage of urine, leakage of essence. Notice here the dosage is higher than normal. This is something we probably should have mentioned before, that when we have these heavy shells and heavy minerals, we need a larger dosage. And this just has to do with the density of the substance. It's like, if we stuck with our normal 9-gram dosage, it would only be a really little bit of a longgu. It would be hardly anything. So we need a larger dose. We need a larger weight just so that we have a good amount to fill up our pot. So we use a larger than average dosage, very common with minerals. And then we cook it 30 to 60 minutes longer than the rest of the decoction. Or we can say you cook it first or pre-decoct it before you add the other ingredients. So that's longgu. Yeah, dosage is larger, boil 30 to 60 minutes longer, it has a longer cooking time. And the name longgu literally means dragon bone. So long means dragon. So like Bruce Lee had the nickname Xiaolong, little dragon. Or if you watch the movie Kung Fu Panda, the villain in that is Tai Long, which means great dragon. But we've also seen this in other herbs, like we had Long Don Sao is dragon gallbladder herb. Long means dragon. Or previously we learned Long Yan Ro, dragon eye flesh. So this is a term that comes up. And Gu means bone. That one might come up more in like acupuncture points. Sometimes the word Gu comes up when the points are right next to the bone. But we saw this before with like tiger bone as hugu. So anyway, longgu, dragon bone. But again, we don't use real dragons. That would be mean. Dragons are an endangered species. So when we say this, we actually are using fossilized bones of other animals. In fact, sometimes the Latin name for this will be will be Os Draconis. So the Latin name is also literally dragon bone, but really we're using things like fossilized cow, deer, and horse bone. So that's Longu Fossilia Ossis Mastidi. So those are our herbs that anchor, settle, and calm, that by virtue of their heavy nature, they weigh down on the heart spirit, but they also weigh down, often weigh down on liver yang rising as well. So those are ones that we're throwing an anchor on a person. So they're being used for excess conditions. Here we're getting into herbs that nourish the heart and calm the spirit. And these are ones that are, because of their sweet nourishing property, we'll use them for deficiency conditions, especially heart yin and heart blood deficiency. So that's what we're talking about in this section. So because we're nourishing the heart, these herbs are of course sweet in flavor because the sweet flavor tonifies and moistens. Temperature tends to be neutral. Entering channels are the heart, liver, and spleen. Of course, we're entering the heart channel because we're nourishing the heart, but sometimes we also enter the spleen channel as well because by nourishing the spleen, then the spleen can send things up to the heart to nourish the heart. And also because we're tonifying blood, we might enter the liver channel as well. So here we have heart, spleen, and liver. These actions nourish the heart to calm the shen. And in terms of cautions and contraindications, these are relatively mild. They don't have a lot of side effects, so we don't really have a lot of cautions and contraindications. But here we might still want to combine them with other herbs that treat the root cause. So if we have shen disturbance due to blood deficiency, we might go to our category herbs that tonify blood. If we have shen disturbance due to yin deficiency, we might go to our category herbs that tonify yin. If we have a situation where spleen qi deficiency is leading to heart blood deficiency, then we'd also add in herbs that tonify the spleen or tonify spleen qi. So that's something we can look at as well. And so our first one is a very famous herb, very commonly used herb, Suan Zao Ren Zizavi Spinosai Semen. Suan Zao Ren Zizavi Spinosai Semen. This is sour jujube seed. So it even has a, it's sour in flavor, it has sour in the name, so this herb is sour. But like we said in the category, Suan Zao Ren nourishes the heart to calm shen. So for irritability, insomnia, palpitation, and anxiety due to yin and blood deficiency of the heart and liver. So this one, the action is a little bit weird to describe because different books will say it different ways. Sometimes they say it nourishes heart blood and liver yin, or it nourishes liver yin and blood and nourishes the heart. But basically, with Suan Zao Ren, we're tonifying both the liver and the heart, and we're tonifying both yin and blood. And so this makes it very good for calming the spirit, because again, sometimes we said there we can talk about the heart shen being disturbed, but also the hun in the liver can be disturbed as well. Here we're taking care of both, and so that's really convenient. Besides that, Suan Zao Ren also has an action of inducing astringency to stop sweating. So this could be for spontaneous sweating, or it can be used for night sweats as well. So generally when we say this, when we say spontaneous sweating, that's usually spontaneous sweating due to qi deficiency. When we say night sweating, that's generally night sweats due to yin deficiency. So it can be used for either one. And so again, it's sour in flavor, so it has this action of inducing astringency. And so here we have some special cooking instructions here where we say the raw form is slightly cool and better at yin deficiency insomnia with heat, but we can also use it in its dry fried form, Chao Suan Zao Ren, and that will make it slightly warm in temperature. So basically it's possible that we could have insomnia due to blood deficiency, and there the patient is likely to be cold, so we want to use the Chao Suan Zao Ren. Or we could have insomnia due to yin deficiency, so it might be more likely we would want to use raw Suan Zao Ren. If we have sweating due to qi deficiency, spontaneous sweating during the day, we might want to use Chao Suan Zao Ren because it's a little bit warmer. If we have night sweats due to yin deficiency, we might want to use the raw Suan Zao Ren because it's neutral or slightly cool in temperature. So that's something we do have choices there. We do kind of make the note that Sometimes they will say they do tests on the ability to extract the main ingredients. There are the alkaloids that we're trying to extract, and slightly roasting it actually results in better extraction. And so some people just say you should always use the chow form. But then we also say that if you dry fry it too much, that will actually start to destroy some of those active ingredients. So you want to. So really, if you were ordering this from an herb supplier, you would just order chow suanzhou ren and not have to deal with it. But if you are trying to make your own chow suanzhou ren, you have to make sure that you don't cook it too much or you don't burn it, because that could actually make the herb less effective. The other thing we need to know, the one that everybody forgets, is that you have to crush it before decocting. And so suanzhou ren, if you have your sample, it's a very hard seed. It has a very hard outer shell. So if you don't crush it first, you're not going to extract anything. So this is the most common one I would see in the student clinic, where people would forget to crush suanzhou ren. And it's kind of like you're not even using it at that point, because that hard shell, you can't extract anything. So suanzhou ren, make sure you crush it. If you have it in your clinic, I would put a sticker on top of there that says make sure you crush it first, because it needs to be crushed in order to extract it. And here, when we say crush it, I know that a lot of people like to pretend they're Harry Potter and like use a mortar and pestle, because it makes them feel like they're brewing a potion. Suanzhou ren is very difficult to crush with a mortar and pestle. Just the seeds are very slippery. If you start to grind it up, they just kind of squirt out all over the place. It's very hard to actually crush them. So for these, what I would do is get a cheap coffee grinder and have that be the coffee grinder that you only use for herbs. And just you put your suanzhou ren in the coffee grinder and just buzz it a few times, and that will chop it up very nicely. It works really well. There are some things with, like, when you have hard minerals or more dense herbs, you need like an industrial grade grinder. With suanzhou ren, you can just get a cheap coffee grinder and that works just as well. And so, speaking of grinding it up, we do say that if you have insomnia, suanzhou ren can be taken as a single herb and you swallow it as a powder. So grind it up into a very fine powder and just swallow it with water for insomnia. Notice that our taste of our herbs are sweet and sour. So it's sweet because it nourishes the heart. It's sour because it induces astringency. And like we said, we want to crush it before decocting. And so the name of this herb is actually sour date seed. When we talk about the five flavors, suan means sour. So zhao means date, like we saw before. Da zhao, big date, in the tonify qi category. And ren means seed or kernel. So maybe that can help you remember some of the actions of this herb, that when you say suanzhou ren, it's sour date seed. So of course, it's sour in flavor, so it induces astringency to stop sweating. So maybe some other things we can say about suanzhou ren is, with its sour flavor, on the one hand, we can say the sour flavor is inducing astringency to stop sweating. But sometimes we also talk about this idea that the sour flavor can actually hold the heart qi together or hold the spirit in and prevent it from scattering. So this is something I think we also talked about with uweitze, is sour in flavor. And so this is the idea that when the shen, when the spirit is not coming home to its abode in the heart, it's kind of wandering around and it's scattered. So by virtue of its sour flavor, suanzhou ren can hold it in. So it's not really quite being heavy and anchoring it down, but its sour flavor is holding things in. And so I think that's kind of an interesting idea here. But overall, I would say suanzhou ren is very famous. It's a very famous herb for insomnia. So basically, when you get into formulas and formula modifications, it's very common to see whenever a person has insomnia, you might add in some suanzhou ren. So if you remember one thing about suanzhou ren, I would think insomnia. So by calming the shen, it's especially good for treating insomnia. So that's suanzhou ren, sour date seed.